Hello and welcome to a new week of the DSR Daily. I am your host for today, Riley Fessler, joined as always by Chris Kotnar. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Chris, why don't you get us started off with your first story for today?
Russia's military has improved its operational effectiveness in the Ukraine conflict through the extensive use of modified glide bombs, leading to significant battlefield advancements. These Soviet-era bombs, enhanced with wings and guidance systems, allow Russian aircraft to launch attacks from a distance, avoiding Ukrainian air defenses. The deployment of these glide bombs alongside other munitions has increased the lethality of Russian airstrikes, particularly in urban warfare contexts. Despite Ukraine's air defense efforts, which include shooting down Russian aircraft, the challenge remains substantial due to the glide bomb's design and the sheer volume of the attacks. Riley?
So the situation in Haiti is continuing to deteriorate, and this has resulted in the U.S. military deploying forces to the country to enhance security at the U.S. embassy, and has also facilitated the evacuation of non-essential personnel. And one of the things they had to address was there were rumors that as they were evacuating non-essential personnel, that Haitians were also being evacuated. And the government has denied that, saying it's not true that Haitians were not evacuated, that it was exclusively non-essential personnel for the embassy. So again, just highlighting how bad the situation is, that this was necessary. While this was going on, Caribbean leaders scheduled an emergency meeting to address the dire situation, emphasizing the need for consensus and international intervention ahead of planned elections by mid-2025. So again, I mean, no end in sight for this crisis. I don't really know how this is going to shake out. There's been calls for the prime minister to either resign or form a transitional council, but you know, with such high gang violence, I don't really see how that will fix things. Chris?
Donald Trump and Viktor Orban met at Mar-a-Lago on Friday, with Prime Minister Viktor Orban stating after the meeting that Trump would halt U.S. financial and military support for Ukraine in the conflict with Russia if he were elected president, leading to a rapid end to the war. While discussing broader implications for European stability and the necessity of peace talks, Orban supported Trump's potential to foster peace. Meanwhile, Trump's campaign did not address the Ukraine situation, but mentioned discussions on mutual national security concerns. European leaders are, of course, apprehensive about Trump's possible return to office, given these statements and others that he's made, including ones about NATO and not protecting countries who, you know, he deems as not paying their fair share. Riley. If you're tired of hearing ads, you can support the show by becoming a member. This week, listeners of the DSR Network shows can receive 25% off the membership price. In addition to an ad-free listening experience, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows via our private member feed, enhanced show notes for selected podcasts, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, and early access to select podcasts. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code DSRNetwork, one word, to receive 25% off. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code DSRNetwork. This offer is limited and will expire on Saturday, March 16th, so act now. And thank you very much for your support.
So President Biden has unveiled his proposed budget for fiscal year 2025, which encompasses significant tax increases on corporations and wealthy individuals to fund new social programs and initiatives aimed at reducing the high cost of housing, college tuition, and other consumer expenses. So a lot of this was outlined in his State of the Union address. And, you know, it does represent an ambitious plan. But I think, as we all know, there's basically zero chance that this will become law in the current administration, given the Republican-controlled House pretty much stands in opposition to anything that Biden does, let alone such a sweeping fiscal strategy. So it's being seen more as kind of an outline for what a second term would look like. And it's just kind of a policy platform for his reelection campaign. And it, again, it just highlights his commitment to economic reforms that favor increased government assistance and as well as environmental stability, funded by a more progressive tax system. So one of the measures is a call for raising the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%, which was the level that President Trump said in his tax bill signed in late 2017. So again, you know, a lot of this we heard about in the State of the Union. It's good to have it reiterated and shows that Biden is committed to pushing these reforms across. And hopefully in a second term, he gets a Congress more favorable that will actually help him pass this rather than just be obstructionist. Chris?
India has inked a free trade agreement with the European Free Trade Association, comprising Norway, Switzerland, Iceland, and Liechtenstein, signaling a substantial investment boost of $100 billion into India. The deal, culminating from nearly 16 years of negotiations, aims to enhance economic ties and foster mutual growth, with India agreeing to eliminate most import tariffs on industrial goods from these countries over 15 years. The investments will target various sectors, including pharmaceuticals, machinery, and manufacturing, aiming to facilitate business expansion and simplify customs processes. The ratification of the agreement by the involved parties is pending, with Switzerland planning its ratification by next year. The FTA is part of India's broader trade strategy, having already secured deals with Australia and the UAE, while negotiations with the UK continue amidst the backdrop of upcoming general elections in India. Riley.
In Benghazi, over the weekend, three influential Libyan leaders announced an agreement on the need to form a unified government in order to oversee long-awaited elections, which would end over a decade of conflict. The agreement involved leaders of the Presidential Council, the High State Council, and the House of Representatives based in Benghazi. And they resolved to establish a technical committee to address contentious issues during a meeting in Cairo under the auspices of the Arab League. So the move still seeks the support of the UN mission in Libya and the international community. But, you know, it's a long road ahead. The conflict has been ongoing since 2011, when an uprising led to the bifurcation of Eastern and Western factions in the country. And it has been a long road and long attempt to try and get some kind of new elections underway, and has met an incredible amount of challenges. So it's a good step, but I think it's something we should celebrate, but it is important to kind of exercise caution and skepticism and see where this goes, and hope that it results in some kind of lasting peace. But again, I think it's a long road ahead and long way still to go. Chris, anything else you want to add before we sign off for today?
Nope, that's it.
All right, well, we have above average intelligence today, so keep a lookout for that on your feed. And then, of course, we have a ton of other shows planned for this week. Hope you will join us for all of those, and also join us every day for the DSR Daily Brief. Until next time.